right. Thank you, Donna. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, give somebody a wave, kind of a smile that says, man, I really am glad to see you today and glad we have this opportunity to gather in the house of the Lord to be able to spend some time around the Word, let the Holy Spirit move in our hearts. And if you're part of our online audience, again, we welcome you as well. Be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito, who's always right there for you to answer any questions that you may have. Again, we appreciate all he does. And we certainly hope and pray that our online audience feels a part, that you feel welcome and that that you are truly a part of Central Baptist Church. We're just tickled to death. I know we've got a lot of things to do today. I believe we've got our annual business meeting right after service today. So I will try to talk fast. You all listen fast, and we'll get there. Let's pray together as we begin our time together this morning. Father, as we come to you again, we are truly grateful and thankful that you have given us this opportunity to come into your house. And Lord, to be able to be together, like-minded believers, gathering around your word, lifting up our hearts in song and praise to you. And Father, we're just praying that we will focus upon you today. May we be intentional to hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us today, not only through your word, but Father, through our brothers and sisters in Christ that we will have the opportunity to speak with today. And Lord, through the songs that we will sing, may each and everything truly be an aspect of worship today. And Lord, truly help give us ears to hear what you say to each and every one of us this day. Because Lord, we're excited to be able to be in your presence. We're excited to hear from you. And Lord, we're so grateful that this day is a possibility. I think of those all around the world today who don't have the opportunity that we are having right now. Lord, those that are taking chances and opportunities to be able to get together under the law that they can't actually get together. Father, they could be imprisoned or even worse, have their lives taken from them. So thank you, Father, for the freedoms that we have. We thank you for those who have put their lives on the line to not only preserve that freedom that we enjoy, but Lord, also to maintain it along the way. May we always be grateful. So Father, bless our time today as only you can, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with me as we sing "I Stand Amazed in the Presence," 547.
Amen. One of the greatest things is to be a part or have that opportunity of God moving in somebody's heart and life and them trusting and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. That is one of the greatest, greatest feelings ever. That's one of the things that will make you want to go out and do it again. Now, it's interesting, though, what happens afterwards. You know, when I say what happens afterwards, I'm talking about the fact that so often when you've got somebody who's a new Christian, maybe somebody who's gone through a significant portion of their life, they haven't been involved in any sort of church or any sort of spiritual growth activities, and yet they've trusted the Lord with all of their heart, man. They really want to follow Him. And then often what will happen is I will get a question afterwards. Somebody that person will come and they'll say, "Well, preacher, I'll tell you one thing. I'm a little overwhelmed." That's the word that I hear most of the time, overwhelmed. And I'm like, well, you know, what is overwhelming you? And they're like, "Well, yeah, I've trusted Jesus. I want to follow Him. And as I begin to get into the Word and as I begin to read it, it's like drinking from a fire hose." How many of y'all have ever heard that that statement? It's just there are so many things coming at them. And the situation is, for the first time in their life, you know, after trusting Christ, they have the Holy Spirit that's their teacher, their interpreter, and then all of a sudden, they see all these things. Now, I want you to understand that those aren't bad things. Those are good things. There's conviction in their heart, conviction in their life over things that they did that were not pleasing to God beforehand. But yet, they honestly want to walk with the Lord in a fruitful way. And they're like, "I really don't know what to do. I don't know where to start." I've always said simply this: let me put it to you in the best words that I can, because they're the words of Christ. And if you're using His words, it's going to be right. Amen? And that's exactly what we want to look at today. Our text for today is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And you know, there are so many times there's moving parts and pieces, but each and every one of us that have followed the Lord for any amount of time realize that spiritual growth is a process. You don't just trust Jesus and all of a sudden know everything. Now, some of us might think we do, but we don't. It's a growth process. We get into the Word. We let the Lord teach us. And sometimes those lessons aren't the ones that we really like, are they? Sometimes we get tried by the fire that we might become pure like gold. And we look back. Sometimes we sit back and say, "Lord, I have no idea what You're doing." Anybody had one of those spiritual prayers? "Lord, I got no idea what You got going on in my life. But I'm trusting You in that." So what I try to tell folks is what Jesus was telling the scribes and the Pharisees and what He tells you and I today. Look with me, if you would, at our text, which is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and we're going to begin at verse 35. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 35. It says, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we spend these moments together around Your Word, I pray that You will truly speak to our hearts. Lord, we have a personal relationship with You, and because we have a personal relationship with You, that means that what You share with us is individual. It is specific to each and every one of us where we are. And Lord, Your ability to be able to speak and move in each and every heart and each and every life of each and every hearer is a magnificent thing. Father, today I pray that You will help us to open our hearts and be receptive to what the Holy Spirit will speak to us today. And then, Lord, that You would give us courage to move closer to You. Lord, to wrap our arms around You, to trust You more, to walk with You in a greater way. But Lord, most of all, to make it a part of every ounce of every day of what we do. So, Father, I pray that you will bless not only our time together, but, Lord, I pray that you will use me as your messenger for these moments. Help me, Father, to lift you up in a way that you truly can draw all men unto you. And we will praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage, a lot of us sit back and say, well, that's easy. You know, I've heard that passage before. And when we look at it, often we just kind of see what is superficial about it. So in this passage, Jesus is actually being confronted by the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And what they were doing is they were seeking to challenge him. They were seeking to undermine his authority in some way. Now, this is not anything new. We see that a lot in the New Testament, don't we? Have you ever been like me and sat back and say, what are these people doing? I mean, it's like, here's Jesus. You're the one that was supposed to have been able to see him. You're the one that should know him. You are the ones that know the scriptures. And folks, they did. They knew the scriptures. They knew what was taking place. They knew what was going on. They just didn't think Jesus was him. That's the crazy part about it. How many times have we gone back at Christmas and we've talked about the fact that when the Magi showed up at Herod's place and Herod went seeking an answer from his wise men, and his wise men gave him the correct answer. Yeah, Jesus is going to be born about 6 miles down the road in Jerusalem. But nobody ever went to check that out. Nobody ever went to see what was going on or taking place. They had a head knowledge, but they did not have the heart knowledge of what was taking place. So these leaders were always trying to find some way to trap Jesus along the way or to catch him in his words and to undermine his authority because they looked at him as a threat to everything that they were. Now, the lawyer's question, I like how you, a lawyer. The lawyer's question about the greatest commandment reflects this ongoing debate among the Jewish leaders concerning the law of Moses. Now, Jesus' response encapsulates the very essence of the law as well as the prophets, and it picks, it's drawing from actually passages in the Old Testament where the law is being mentioned, specifically Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, as well as Leviticus 19, 18. Now, the lawyer's question is a test. Yeah, in other words, they're attempting to trap Jesus in some sort of a complex theological debate. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? You know, they ask you a question, but there's an agenda. And their agenda is to get you into, lead you down a road to get you into some kind of a spiritual debate. Now, I don't know how you take that. I love those opportunities. I really do. Because generally, you can see it coming 50 miles away. There's a reason that this question is being asked. But you see, the thing about it is, if somebody asks me a question, guess what the next thing they have to do is? Listen to my answer. And I can pin someone down. Y'all know that. Yeah, when it comes to a verbal debate, I am a champion. Man, I'll give you all kinds of good stuff. Now, I generally will start this with a very simple question. Do you believe that the Word of God is truly the inspired, inerrant Word of God? That it's infallible? You see, if you don't have the right standard, I can't prove it. If I believe that the Bible truly is the Word of God and that every jot and tittle, I like that, that's a biblical thing, every jot and tittle is exactly what it's supposed to be, if I believe that and you believe that, then that means we've got a standard by which we can compare our debate, right? But you see, if somebody doesn't believe that, then you can't prove anything to them. So generally, I will sit back and say, well, you know what? This conversation's not going to go anywhere because you and I don't have the same standard of belief. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I said, well, why don't you believe in the Word? Because it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. See what I'm saying? See, all of a sudden, they get to travel my road in the debate. Yeah, but it's hard to prove something to somebody. And what was going on was they were, this lawyer was trying to get Jesus into a debate. And most of the time, they did this to try to be very accusative of him, to try to find a way that they could arrest him, or they had an agenda. We've heard that term before, haven't we? An agenda. That's usually not good when somebody has an agenda. And they had an agenda. They were trying to trap Jesus. However, Jesus, his response was emphasizing something no one can argue with. It was emphasizing the priority of love. You see, the first commandment calls for this encompassing love of God. And it does so by saying engaging our heart, our soul, and our mind. All right, that's a little bit more than just, I love you, you know. It's talking about engagement. It is talking about being a part. This love is rooted in a very deep and a personal relationship with the Creator. How many times have I stood up and said, listen, folks, Jesus is not about you attending church on Sunday and going back home and doing everything just normal Monday through Saturday. No. Jesus is the one that should be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. His word is what we should pattern our life after. We should have a biblical worldview. And here's the thing. How can you ever have a biblical worldview if you don't know what the biblical worldview is in the Bible? That is why it is so critical that you and I have an understanding. It's ironic that there have been some people that I have talked to in my lifetime, and it happens all the time, that will sit back and we will have a difference in a belief on something. And they'll say, well, you know, I don't have any problem with X. Insert whatever X is. There's a bunch of X's in the world today. Insert whatever you want. And I'll say, what, you're a believer, right? Yes, I am. I'm like, well, okay, so how can you justify that belief when the Bible specifically and in many cases says, thou shalt not before it, right? Well, you know, and I'm like, okay, that goes back to my question. Do you believe the Bible is truly the inspired and inerrant word of God? See, folks, we got to get past this thing about trying to make the word of God fit our lifestyle. It is about us trying to make our lives fit the biblical lifestyle in what we read here. You know what? Each and every one of us knows some things that we don't particularly care about in the Bible, and most of the time we don't care about it because it's not what we want. See, you can't just segment the Word of God out. You can't just pull out the parts that you like and say, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. And we've got a lot of that going on in the world today. Let's just hang out over here because this is safe. This is fun. This is, I'm all right, you're all right, everybody going to be all right, all God's children are all right. And that is not what the Lord tells us. You see, part of the reason why people don't like biblical preaching today is because it brings about conviction. Amen? And when it brings about conviction, we do not like that. We don't like to go out of places where our toes are stepped on. We want somebody to blow sunshine our way and tell us how great we are all the time. And by the way, you are great, but that doesn't mean you're infallible. That doesn't mean that there are things in our lives that the Lord doesn't want us to be doing to be good representatives of Him. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Getting back to what we're talking about today is love. This love I'm talking about today is rooted in a very, very deep personal relationship with our Creator. You've heard me say it many times. Salvation's not about you checking a box on a card. Salvation is not about you even coming up and praying with the preacher and then saying, well, I did the thing. I'm going to heaven because I did the thing. No, you are missing it completely. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that checking the box on the card or praying with the preacher is a bad way to get started. It's not. But it is just the beginning. It is not over. It is about cultivating that relationship. You know, I have opportunities, and you've heard me say before, I love to hear people's stories. And I had the privilege of being involved in a wedding this past weekend that was out of town, and there was a majority of the people I didn't know. Do you think I left not knowing many of those people? I know a whole lot of new people now. And having the opportunity when we have those moments to sit there and introduce yourself and to be able to say, hey, look, you originally from around here? Yeah. Where'd you come from? And then you begin to hear their story, you know, and they begin to tell you that you begin to cultivate a friendship. You begin to cultivate that relationship. So how do you ever find out anything about anybody unless you spend time with them? Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? If you want to know Jesus, you need to spend some time with him. If you want to get to the heart of who he is, hang out with him. I promise you, it'll be great. I promise you, you will learn things not only about him, but you will learn things about yourself that you never knew. But then he goes on and he says there's a second commandment, and I'll probably come back to the first in a minute, but the second commandment is sourced out of the book of Leviticus, and it extends this kind of love that we are talking about showing forth to Jesus. It is extending this to our neighbors. You know, sometimes we can sit back and say, I don't have any trouble loving Jesus, but I have a little problem with that neighbor thing. Now, for some of you, it might be your real neighbor. For some of us, we have to understand what neighbor means. That's all the rest of y'all. That's a good southern word. That's the rest of us. If you're in your life, that's your neighbor. And we're supposed to extend the same kind of love, hang on, the same kind of love we show to the Savior, we're supposed to extend to our neighbor. And you know what? I mean, there's been times in my ministry that when we've gotten into this and somebody goes, I'm not doing that. I'm going to love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, but I ain't loving my neighbor. You ain't seen my neighbor. I can't love my neighbor in that same way. Hey, listen, that is a command. You know, well, we sit back all the time and we don't have any trouble with thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. We don't have any trouble with them. But boy, I'll tell you one thing, when we get down to, and we don't even have trouble at times with loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, but loving our neighbor as ourself, it gets a little sketchy, doesn't it? Do you know what that means? I want you to think about that for just a moment. I want the Holy Spirit to explain to you this morning what that means. That means that you are to love that neighbor in the same manner in which you love the Lord. With him being, the Lord being a step higher, but you extend that love that he cultivates in you and you extend it to other people. Now, without you answering my question, how are we doing in that area? How's that going for you? There are some people that are easy to love, aren't there? Man, there are some people that you don't have any trouble whatsoever putting your arms around and telling them you love them and mean it and you want to hang out with them. They make your day when you see them. But then there are others that you just want to run away from. They make you sound like Yosemite Sam. Know what I'm saying? When you see them, confounded, friggin' fracking, low good, no down, dirty, double cross, right? They make you think of those things. And you're telling me that God is telling me that I am supposed to love him or her in the same manner that I love the Savior. I ain't doing it. Ooh, that's a little bit, that becomes more difficult, doesn't it? See, the thing about it is, it's not that we don't know what we're supposed to do. It's often we have trouble doing it. Love your neighbor. Reflecting God's love through our actions and through our interactions to those that really are unlovable. How many of y'all have ever had a grumpy old cuss in your life that was really hard to love? Now, I'm not saying they have to be with you. You know, I'm about a lifetime. And yet, you know, the thing about it is, you really desire to reach out to them. And it just sometimes seems like you just keep hitting the wall. You try to do something nice. You try to show that love. And then here's what usually happens. You make that forward progress and you try to love on them a little bit and they push you away. And then what happens is you're like, I'm done trying. I ain't doing that no more. I'll tell you one thing. If that's the way they're going to be, I don't have to subject myself to that. Yes, you do. Did you hear me? Yes, you do. Because do you realize that your life and the way that you treat them may be the only sermon they ever hear preached about God's love? Do you realize that their eternity could be very dependent upon you and how you act and how you treat them and how you respond to them? Even when they're grumpy and grouchy, even when you really don't want to be around them, I'm a little bit defiant. How many people in here would admit today I'm a little defiant sometimes? Oh, good. I have a few brave souls today. Let me just put it this way. If I have that person, I have become on a quest. I'm going to go out of my way to love on them even more. So they better get used to it. You know what? They can call me whatever they want to. They can do whatever. I'm still going to smile at them. I'm going to still tell them God loves them, and I'm working on it. I love you too. Because here's the thing. I want to love my neighbor in the same manner that I love my Lord. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Particularly with those that you don't really care to try to love that way. You see, the Jesus, when he gave the answer to them, he gave a very brilliant answer. And let me tell you what's so brilliant about it. The brilliancy of the answer that Jesus gave this lawyer is the simplicity that is found in it. Yet, not only was it simple, it was just profoundly deep. He is summarizing the entirety of God's law in these two interrelated commandments. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Check. Got that. I can do that. And love your neighbor as yourself. Man, you had to go there, didn't you? Golly, Pete. You mean... Oh, but see, we try to compromise with God, don't we? Lord, I can love 99% of the people in my life. But there's 1% that I can't love. And you know what the Lord says? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. That includes the 1%. You know, I believe with all my heart, this world would be a different place if we did this. Sometimes we have trouble getting along, don't we? Sometimes we even have trouble getting along with each other. And yet the world sees that. You have to ask yourself the question. Listen, I want to encourage you, not only this week for the rest of your life, but for the rest of your life, to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. When those people that get on your last nerve and you're getting ready to go off on them, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, are you loving them in the same manner that you are loving God? I pray it will give you pause. I pray that it will help you to be what Jesus wants you to be in the lives of those that are around you. You see, these commandments reveal the foundation of a faithful life, prioritizing love above ritual observances. You know what? There can be a lot of ritualism in worship. And I'm talking about across the board. You've noticed there's ritualism in a lot of things that we do, but there's a lot more in some other denominations. There is a lot of ritualism that goes on. But where is the cotton-picking love? Why do we do what we do if we cannot love? What is it in the love chapter? Was it 1 Corinthians 13? He talks about all these qualities of love, but he says, of all these things, he said, if I don't love, I am a clanging cymbal, a loud banging gong. He says, you know, was it faith, hope, and love? But the greatest of these is love. I believe with all of my heart, because I believe the Word of God shares and shows us this, we could change the world if we would love the world. Now, don't take that love the world the wrong way. I'm talking about showing genuine love towards those that God has blessed us and privileged us to be in their life and them being part of our life. You know, I look at every single person. I look at every single person that's here today. I think of all the people who may not be here today. And I realize that God has placed you in my life for a reason. He has placed me in your life for a reason. And you know where the great start is? To love each other. See, love says that when somebody's going down a tough path, I'm going to walk that path with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do the best I can to protect you. By the way, that doesn't mean you agree with somebody. That doesn't mean that people don't make some really dumb mistakes. Amen? How many of y'all made a dumb mistake in your life? I better see every hand in this building up. You've made some dumb mistakes. Now listen, to be able to walk with somebody through a dumb mistake doesn't mean that you are patting them on the back for the fact that they made a mistake. You know, there have been many times I've said, listen, what you did was really dumb, and what you did was not in accordance with the Word of God, and you know that. Yes, I do. I said, now, I'm not going to belabor the point with you. I'm not going to sit here and beat you over the head with this. I'm not going to shun you. I'm not going to ostracize you. I'm going to help you become what God wants you to be. Have you repented? Yes, I have. Do you believe God forgives? Yes, I do. Okay, good. Now, forgive yourself and let's move forward in going forward. But you see, a lot of times we have trouble with that. With other people. Oh, do you know what so-and-so did? Well, yeah, I do know what they did, but I also know that they've repented from that and God has given them freedom from it. And since God no longer holds it against them, I will no longer hold it against them. Ooh. See, now you understand what I'm talking about. The world would be a different place if we did that. He wants us to have a world where we prioritize love specifically above ritualistic observations. You know what? It's cool that we have the choir sing. It's cool the order that we have. It's cool that we come together to worship. But if it outweighs, if what we do outweighs the reason why we do it, we got a problem. We got a real problem. Some of you have been there before. You've heard me tell that story about the three generations of women in a family. And yeah, grandma used to make a ham. And when grandma would make the ham, she would cut the ends off the ham. Remember that? Grandma would cut the ends off the ham. She would put it in the oven. So while her daughter was around her and her daughter was learning, well, that's what she would do. So she would cut the ends off of the ham and dress it just like mama would. And she would cook it for her family. And then her daughter came along, the third generation. And she's watching mama. Mama's helping her learn how to cook. And she cuts the ends off of the ham. And cooks it. And it's real good. You know, one day her husband is sitting there and says, honey, yeah, I've been watching you, and I'll tell you one thing. This is the best ham I've ever had in my life. But there's a question that I have in regard to the ham. And she said, well, what is it, dear? He says, why do you cut the ends off of the ham? And the girl said, well, you know what? I don't know. But mama should know because mama taught me how to do this. So she goes and she asks mama. And she says, mama, I got a question because my husband asked me this. And you know, I never did get down to the brass tacks of why we do this. But I made a ham. By the way, ham turned out really good. But my husband asked me why we cut the ends of the ham off. And she said, well, you know, sweetie, I don't really know. That's how your mama taught me to do it. So let me ask your grandma. She said, okay, well, just let me know when you find out. So anyway, grandma gets called. And she said, you know what? We were just thinking about it because your granddaughter called me, and both of us, she had a question, and I wasn't real sure about the answer to it, but I learned from you, so I'm sure you have the answer. So, mama, let me ask you this question. Why is it that when we're baking a ham, we cut the ends off of the ham? And grandma said, because that's the only way it would fit in the oven. See, back in the old days, the ovens were smaller. But you see, sometimes we can be so staunch in ritualism that we forget even why we do what we do. And things change over time. Listen, I think about all the hams that have been baked that got thrown into garbage. The ends of the ham. You see, the ovens are bigger now. The whole ham will fit in there. Listen, ritualism cannot outdo the reason why we do what we do. And that's our love for our God. Make sense? Jesus places the core of Scripture into relational terms that you and I can understand, highlighting that the true obedience stems from a heart that's aligned with God and it's expressed through love for one another. When people look at you, do they know that you love them in such a fashion that they sit back and say, you know what, I want what they have? Once again, this past week, I had a chance to talk to somebody who at one point in their life had said, you know what, I'd have given anything for somebody to just have told me that they loved me and meant it. There's a hurting world out there, folks. There is a mean, nasty world out there that propagates hate. And unfortunately, the church has been aligned with that. In fact, we've actually been called champion haters. I'm not talking about just Central Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church, period. The body of believers. They say, boy, we can hate with the best of them. Man, that doesn't reflect God, does it? That doesn't reflect loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Man, that stings. Hard to preach because you know what? It's hard to preach because we find ourselves in that situation more often than not. See, this teaching also signifies the unity of the Old Testament law and the prophets, which find their fulfillment in Christ. See, Jesus begins to reorient religious practices toward genuine devotion and ethical conduct. Boy, Jesus was a troublemaker, wasn't he? He was a troublemaker for the system. That's what he was. So what does all that mean to us? What does this passage bring to light in our lives? See, in our lives, applying these commandments calls for a reassessment of our priorities. Anybody ever tell you to get your priorities together? I heard that quite a bit through a certain season of my life. You need to get your priorities in order. You know what makes me mad about that? They were right. And that's usually when it makes you mad. So we have to reassess our priorities. Are we loving God with every aspect of our being? Now listen, that's a hard question. That's one that you and the Holy Spirit have to answer today. Because when you think about it, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind. Man, what kind of pollution are we putting in our minds today? With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our being, every ounce of who we are, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just from 10:45 to 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. Are you getting in the Word of God? Are you working on that relationship with Jesus? I would be willing to bet that there are some of you that have had some people in your lifetime that tried to cultivate a relationship with you that it just, you were like, dude, man, they're like following me around. I feel like I'm being stalked. You know why? They wanted to know about you. They wanted to cultivate a relationship. And here's the interesting part. Usually those people will wear you down until you become their friend. And usually they will know things about you. And then the next thing you know, you turn around and you realize they're probably the best friend you have in this world. Because they've walked with you. They've stood with you. They know where the bodies are buried. And they still love you. They still love you. They know what's going on in your life. Do you daily practice this? Do our daily actions reflect a sincere love, number one, for God, but number two, for our neighbor? Or do we let little things get us all twisted up sideways? Can't we all just love each other and get along? I love loving people. I really do. To me, that's one of the coolest things in the world, is to be able to be a part of somebody's life and to be that person that when you're walking down the street, they want to see you. They want to be a part of your life. Man, as a pastor, I have had such special moments in being parts of people's lives. And then even after, you know, I've watched some of our young people grow up and become adults and parents and everything else. And you know, one of the coolest things in the world is when they say, look, I still want you to be a part of my life. I still want you to be a part of my wedding. I still want you to be a part of my family because I love you. And you love me. Whew. That's powerful. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's like a big blubbering baby. Yeah, I'll cry for you. That's because I'm an old softy. But I love you, and I love you enough, I don't want to see anybody spend an eternity in a place called hell. That's what should drive us. That's what should motivate us. Are we loving God as we should? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And are we exhibiting that in the way that we love our neighbors? Practical steps include dedicating time for prayer and reflection. Listen, if you are too busy to spend time daily in the Word of God, and I'm not talking about, this is going to sound bad, but you know, somebody said, well, I got this book called 1 Minute with God. I said, if God only gets 1 minute of your day, you need to reorder your priorities. I get it, but do you set a time aside in your busy, busy day to say, this is God's time. I am going to spend time with Him. I have an important meeting with God today. I'm going to shut the phone off. I'm going to cut the distractions out. And me and God are going to hang out together today. Listen, you know what that's like. Probably every one of you in here have had a situation where somebody has said, hey, let's go do something or what have you. And you said, nope, I can't do that today. Because you know what? I'm going to take my son or my daughter out to lunch. Or I've got somebody that I'm going to be meeting with today that's very, very important. You know, when they see you choose them over everything else and not always be put last, that means so much, doesn't it? When they see you forego something important and do something with them, that lets them know they're importanter. That's a good word, isn't it? They're importanter than what was important. And I'll tell you one thing, that speaks volumes. You got to dedicate a time for prayer and reflection and studying Scripture to grow in your relationship with God and actively seek opportunities to serve and to support those that are around us. Let me tell you something. You guys really do a good job with that. I mean, you know, the things that you know how to do, that you will step up and do, Sometimes just the kind word, sometimes just to say, you know, hey, I was at the beach and I brought you back some sand. Hey, I love sand. You know why? Because I love who it came from and it meant so much to me that somebody thought about me when there was 10,000 other things that are going on. See, that's when you really start to think about how the thought counts. When that little child hands you that construction paper heart that they either cut out or they drew on, that means more to me than $10,000. You know why? Because they thought about me. And I was important to them. May we remain that. Listen, if we loved everybody in that way, what would this world be like? Think about it for a minute. You know that would change. See, we need to embrace this radical love. We need to let it guide every decision, every interaction, transforming our communities and drawing us closer to Christ. You know what? It's easy to yell at the waitress when they get your order wrong, isn't it? I'm not saying that you sit back and, you know, if you got a nut allergy and your salad's full of nuts, I'm not telling you to eat it and go into anaphylactic shock or anything just because you don't want to say anything about it. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that you could be kind. You can be courteous. You can sit back and say, ma'am, you know, could you do me a favor? You know, I didn't order nuts on the salad because, like I said, I'm allergic to them and everything. I got nuts on my salad. Would there be a way that you could, you know, maybe get me a new salad? You know what? Most of the time, people are just as good as gold and say, well, absolutely, I'll do. In fact, when you love them and treat them good, you usually wind up with a better second salad than the first one. You'd be surprised how extra dressing shows up. You'd be surprised how people will show ways of loving you back because you didn't yell at them like the rest of the world does. So you snap at them, I'm allergic to nuts, you brought me a salad with nuts. By the way, what can I pray for you about when we say the blessing here in a minute? You know, listen, I'm a believer, and even I'd sit back and say, I don't want you praying for me today. You ain't going to get one past the ceiling. Because God's children don't act that way. See, God's children love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. And they love their neighbor as themselves. I want you to think about that. Listen, the Holy Spirit is going to bring this to your mind. He does to mine. And listen, hey, I'm not saying this is easy. There are times when I just, and then all of a sudden the Lord goes, You ever had somebody do that to you growing up? You're like, but and then you know what the Lord usually does? The Lord usually says, Roy, first of all, take a deep breath. Secondly, adjust your cotton-picking facial expression because your nonverbal speaks much more than what your words are. Get your I love Jesus face on. Take a breath. Now interact like one of my children. Oh, but see, you got to hear, you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. That's when you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That means you're present with Him. And He will tell you in a heartbeat. Man, I love the little things. The simple little things mean so much to me. They have to be the costly things. Don't care about that. The little things. Hey, I love you. Hey, preacher, here's a little heart I drew you. They're invaluable. How are we doing with that? See, as we reflect on these great commandments, let us remember that our faith is not merely a set of rules It's not why we're here. But it's a call to love deeply. Not superficially, but to love deeply. Jesus invites us into a life that is marked by love, urging us to embody His teaching in our daily walk, in our everything that we do, the way we interact with people, what we see and what we do and how we act is a reflection of who we are in Christ. What kind of reflection have we been? Man, there are days I'll hang my head because I hadn't been a real good portrait of the Master. And it should hurt us that we haven't represented Him. You know, I hope and pray that someday when I'm in heaven, somebody says, you know what? I didn't trust Jesus because of you. Think about that for a minute. I didn't trust Jesus because the way you acted and you said you represented Him. But boy, you didn't show any love. You didn't extend any grace. You didn't extend any mercies. The times that we were together, you know what? You made me not want to be a Jesus person. Imagine how bad that would sting. Wow. Jesus invites us into a life marked by love. And He wants us to embody His teaching in our daily walk, not just weekly, our daily walk. And may we leave inspired to love God fully and to extend that love to everyone that we encounter. Not just those that are easy to love, but those that are hard to love as well. So then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." You know what's kind of cool about that? That goes back to what I started our time together with. When somebody says to me, look, trying to grow in the Lord is like drinking from a fire hose. And you know what my comment is? I go to this scripture and I say, look, you practice loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and I will promise you that God is going to grow you in some incredible ways as you take it one day at a time, one step at a time. Listen, nobody is born again that has all of the know-how and the experiences. We were talking about it just, I think it may have been last week, where Paul said, not that I have already apprehended, not that I already have become this spiritual giant by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I want you to think about that spiritual giant in your life. We got to be real careful about something here too. We all have spiritual giants in our lives that we look up to. Let me tell you something right now. Be very careful, because those spiritual giants are fallible and they will let you down 100% of the time. Did you hear that? The only one that will not let you down is Jesus Christ. That's it. There'll be times when we're disappointed in folks. Does that mean that we're going to quit loving them? Does that mean that we're going to quit respecting who they are? Listen, everyone in this room has made mistakes. If you could pull the veil back across the things that Jesus knows, I guarantee you if I said, hey, look, we got a curtain up here, and Jesus showed up with all the stuff in your life that you don't want anybody else to know about, but we're going to pull the drapes on it, this place would clear out as if you threw a grenade in the middle of it. Kind of like, remember in John when he bent down and started writing on the ground? So remember this. Before we start having aught against our neighbor that we are supposed to love, There's some garbage in our background too. There's some things that the Lord's forgiven us of, and he says, you are to forgive as you have been forgiven. And let me tell you this, God has forgiven me of a lot. And he expects me to forgive a lot. He says, I will forgive you as you forgive. Also, like it in Matthew where he says, look, if you're going to use a standard of judgment against somebody, I'm going to use the same standard of judgment against you. So if knowing that's the case, what kind of standard of judgment would you use against somebody else? The lightest or the heaviest? Like I said, I know what God's forgiven me of. I'm the least judgmental person on the face of this planet. And I would say after 33 years in ministry, most of you aren't going to tell me something I hadn't already heard. Sometimes people act like, preacher, it's going to be devastating. You've probably never heard this before. I'm like, only 50 times. Yeah. I can tell you're ashamed of it, but you know, hey, look, man, I'm not your judge. The master is your judge. My job is, first of all, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul. You picking up on it now? Repetition's the way we learn. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And your neighbor. You're my neighbor. And my neighbor as myself. I love myself pretty good. I'm pretty good at looking after number one. How about you? I kind of like to take care of myself. I took a shower this morning. I put on clean clothes. I comb my hair. I want to look good. I want to look good for y'all. I want y'all to like me. I don't want people coming around going, oh, geez, man, I don't know about this guy. I take care of myself pretty good. You know, preservation in life's a pretty good thing, too. You know, if I see a vehicle coming at me, I may push you out of the way, but I'm going with you. I'll try to help us both out, but I'm going to be looking after me. Are you loving your neighbor in the same way that God says you're supposed to be loving him, number one, and loving yourself, number two? I always love that scripture that says we should esteem the other as better than self. And that's hard to do because we have pride. Listen, pride's a sneaky thing. Pride's one of those things that creeps in a lot of times and we don't even know it until the Lord has to break it out of us. It's a tough thing. So how do you stand? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our time of invitation. And as always, my first question is simply this. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Have you trusted him as your Savior? And I'm not talking about did you just go through the stuff and check all the boxes and say, I'm going to heaven. That is not a relationship with God. A relationship with God means you want to hang out with him. You want to spend time with him. You want to be in his word. You want to pray with him. You want to walk with him and talk with him so he can tell you you are his own. Did you get that? That's a good old hymn. A lot of good theology in hymns, aren't they? Aren't they? He walks with me, talks with me, tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Good stuff. Are we doing that? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you can't be hanging out with him. He ain't looking for part-time followers. In fact, I like what he asked a bunch of disciples in the New Testament when he said, when I finally told him what this was all about, all these disciples left and he looked at the ones that were with him. He said, you want to go too? Hit the bricks. It's costly to follow Jesus, but I'll promise you it's well worth it. Have you trusted him? Listen, if you haven't, and the Lord is tugging on your heart today, knocking on that heart's door, just whatever you're doing, just stop it right now and just bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's the handshake. That's the introduction. I promise you the Lord will save you. That's not all he wants. He doesn't want you to go, okay, hi, we met, I'm gone. No, he wants you to hang out with him. He wants to hang out with you. Maybe we're here today and we haven't been as loving as we should be. See, listen, we have to preach this every week to ourselves, every day to ourselves, because we slip in this area all the time. Are we loving each other the way God loves us? Or are we just mean and nasty and contributing to the fact that people say Christians are the meanest people on the planet? Not a good testimony. Let's change that. Listen, I promise that if it changes in you, then it changes in the corporate body, and then it changes in the community, and it spreads like wildfire. I dare you to take me up on that challenge. Listen, what do you need to do? If you need this altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. If you've trusted Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. If you've gotten some things squared away with him, we would certainly, here's a good old altar. It's always there. It's always open. You're welcome to it. But whatever it is the Lord's put on your heart, take care of it right now. Don't let it delay. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 317, Only Trust Him. You by. The Lord has spoken something to you. If you came in here today and you listened, the Holy Spirit has placed something in your life. It might be encouragement. It might be an area that needs to be changed. Whatever it is, make sure that you act on it in a way that's pleasing to the Father. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front at this time as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering for Him. Father, as we come to you today, again, we are so grateful for the provision that you give us in our lives. Lord, we're thankful for the provision that we don't even know anything about. But Lord, the way you look after us is just incredible. So Lord, right now we come to a time where we continue to worship you by returning to you the tithe and the offering. I pray, Father, that you will truly bless this gift as well as the giver may be used to honor your kingdom and your glory. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.